On tonight's episode and our news stories, special Jeep talk show Gladiator from Jeep. Could it be true?
It's can't wait.
It's true in my head. In Newbie Nuggets, Wendy gets dirty with the mud. Oh my God, I can't believe you got muddy, Wendy.
No, I got to listen to this episode.
So is that does that mean that Bill's going to have to clean the mud because he can't say no?
I'm just going to have to listen to the damn episode.
Oh, it's all about timing. Fabricating right. Frenzy with Larry. Do you want to video your adventure? Well, you say yes. Yeah, you say yes, but video is so hard to make it good video.
You know what? It's called editing afterwards, right?
Like, oh, editing is so rough.
Oh, man.
And in must-have stuff for your Jeep, a multi-port USB 12-volt charger. And this kind of dovetails in with the video, Larry, because, you know, you have to be able to charge those GoPros and everything else. So,
all the cameras and everything.
Yeah. Absolutely. And it, and whenever you go, I got a USB in my Jeep, and then you got six items that need to be charged.
Well, howdy, it's Wendy. And do you like the mud, or is it a hard pass?
Hi, I'm Larry, and let's get started recording your Jeep adventures.
All right, so in our first news story that we teased, it is a Texas-only Jeep, the way God intended it to be.
Oh boy, Larry, here we go.
Is it black?
Well, you can see the show notes. You can see that it's red.
Obviously, yeah. If he's bringing
damn
it
you.
To Texas.
This is for the listener, though.
Yeah. So, state-specific, well, you know, that's good. I'm glad you mentioned that, because they can go to YouTube and watch this thing as we do it. So, go to YouTube, guys.
Right. Yeah.
So, state-specific Jeep started with carb-compliant California. Well, now, yes. Well, sorry, now Texas is getting a gas-guzzling ICE 2024 Gladiator. You guys remember what ICE is, right?
Yes.
Internal combustion engine. Again,
is it a V12?
The way the well, that'd be nice. the way God intended engines to be.
That's right.
This special Gladiator comes in bright red and all Jeeps should be.
No, wait a minute. It has to come in other colors. Please say it comes in other colors, Tony, unless you negotiated something with Jeep.
Well, this Jeep, the Texas Trail Gladiator, should only be in red in my estimation.
Oh, gosh. Here we go. Listeners,
I mean, it's
please.
The first color of the USA flag.
Well, it
red,
is.
Red, white,
true.
And blue.
Well, blue would be awesome, for sure.
Give you that one.
That's tertiary. That's not the main one, though. All right, so this new version of the Gladiator celebrates Texas, the largest truck market in the United States. Based on the Sport S trim level, not Rubicon, not Mojave, Sport S trim level, the Gladiator Texas Trail stands out with a meaty mud terrain tires, a body-colored top, and Texas-spirited exterior decals. Buyers will have, this is the sad part. Buyers will have seven colors to choose from.
Hey, here we go. Yeah.
Black. Dun, dun, dun.
There we go.
Bright white. Oh my God. So unimaginative. Wow. Granite crystal, which I have, as a man, I have no idea what color that is. Is it gray? It must be gray.
It's gray. It's gray with a sheen to it or something, I think.
Hydro blue. Now I have a hint with the hydro blue because it says blue.
Yes. I like the hydro blue.
Firecracker red, and again, I get it because it says red, and high velocity, and what is the high velocity? Is that yellow, or is it chartreuse or something?
That yellow one, I think, right? Is that yellow?
I like that yellow. It's a very bright.
It's a pretty yellow. It's a manly yellow.
Yeah.
Let me change
the
wording on that.
It's very pretty.
In Missouri, do you say yeller, or is that just down here in Texas?
Yellow.
Now, can I just hint at something? I'm not sure if this is part of the segment. I didn't read this, but is there a possibility that we at the show had some sort of, or did
that's
you, Tony,
my
had
point.
Some sort, you had some influence on this,
Texas.
Right? You have a red Gladiator. You're
Sport
in Texas.
S. And this one was designed for towing. So they don't say it in this article, but
they
it's a 7,700 pound towing. So it's the same. It's got the max tow on it like mine does.
It's us, folks.
I am a Texan. I am a Texan. I was born here. I lived here all my life. And of course, the Jeep is red. The Jeep needs to have the courage just to call this thing the Jeep Talk Show Special Edition.
It's inspired by us.
set them up especially. With the decals.
Or or at least say inspired by the very popular Jeep show.
Influenced and inspired by.
We love them in a very strange way.
That's right. Because we're always so pro Jeep.
you know this is coming out as a 4x8, right?
or else a full EV. that would just send us to this moon.
But it's really cool. Yeah, power comes from the tried and true 3.6 liter Pentastar V6, which makes 285 horsepower and 260 pounds of torque. It spins the rear or the four wheels via an 8-speed automatic transmission, same thing I have, a 2-speed transfer case, same thing I have, and unlocks a 7,700-pound towing capacity. Mine is like 7,660 or something, so they've just rounded up is all they're doing here.
Well, they couldn't copy you exactly, Tony, because then they'd have to pay you a royalty for that.
It'd be some sort of lawsuit. Could I do that?
Well, yes. It's less now because of the skids.
That's true. Yeah, it's again available only in Texas. The Gladiator Texas Trail carries a base price of $49,985, including a $1,895 destination charge. Don't they have to go someplace? Why is there a destination charge?
Because it has to be driven or taken to Texas.
This is like, okay, let's add $1,800 or $1,900 to this. What do we call it? Oh, destination charge. What the hell is that?
Can't call it dealer markup. It's too obvious.
Dealer prep. You know, we're getting ready to make a deposit. So for context, the 2021 Texas Trail cost $41,930, included a $1,495 destination charge. This goes right back to Roger because, you know, these truck drivers, they're charging more. So we can blame Roger for having to pay more for the destination thing. Because I think it's basically delivery. And the 2024 Sport S starts at $43,290. Sales will start in May. And if you want the special edition Gladiator but live outside of Texas, too fucking bad. No, that's not what it says.
Oh my gosh. Hey.
This is a Texas Jeep, damn it.
We all got to pay the destination charge.
Yeah, exactly.
That's right, because this is the destination charge to Texas. It could be more if you go someplace else. I think they ought to do.
Washington.
I think I should contact the congressman Cruz. Forget his last. The Texas governor, where he's shipping the immigrants. Yeah, he's shipping immigrants. We should see if Abbott will ship a bunch of these Texas Trail Jeeps to California. Put on a bus and send them over there.
That would be awesome. I'd be first in line.
Oh, they would just hate the ICE vehicles showing up.
I don't care. I want it.
So if you want a special edition Gladiator but live outside of Texas, you can do it. But it is going to be a new Jeep Beach Edition model, also joining the lineup for the 2024 model year.
Wait. So if I want the Texas one, I can only buy the Jeep one? What doesn't make
sense? No. There's some special ones that are available outside of Texas, and they're the Jeep Beach ones.
Oh, okay. But I could order one from Texas. Probably wouldn't pass the smog here in California.
No, you can't. You're not in Texas.
But I want to be. I want one. What if I want one?
I think you guys should move.
You definitely can't order the Texas high altitude version.
No.
Well, I mean, in Austin, there's lots of people that are very high. So that could be a different type of altitude. Yeah. So and again, I'm going to point out that the Jeep Talk Show influence here. I'm a Texan. I have a red Gladiator with a max tow package, and it is a Sport S. I mean, come on. Thanks, Jeep. But give the Jeep Talk Show a little love and tell everyone Jeepers can thank us.
Yes.
For the great Texas Gladiator Edition, the Texas Trail.
It's also thanks to the listeners and you going to EJS and doing runs and them doing social media. I mean, Jeep had to take notice.
Well, they had to. But, you know, I think it was it definitely was one of the Jeep people was looking at my smashed taillight last year at EJS. And there was the big Jeep Talk Show sticker there. I wonder if that got things going. And
they had to.
Exactly. And maybe they did a little research, found out I'm from Texas, or maybe they saw the guns that were in the back seat and just assumed I was in Texas. That I was from Texas.
Hey, there's an idea.
Order code JTS.
I love it. Love it. Well, thank you, Jeep, for doing that and recognizing the Jeep Talk Show can influence you.
I'm just going to say there's a lot of coincidences here.
Mm-hmm. You aren't suggesting that the Jeep comes with one taillight, are you?
Wow. Winky. Yeah,
that was bad.
Yeah, Steve likes to run at me about the broken taillight. Hey, stuff happens. I mean, it's so funny. It's Metal Masher, and I think I got away easy with Plastic Masher.
There you go.
Yeah.
Are you ready?
It's time for the Jeep Talk Show with hosts Tony, Josh, Wendy, and Chuck.
This Texas Texas Trails Jeep Talk Show flagship episode is brought to you by you, the listener. Without you, we would have no reason to do this show. Reach out to us and hang on a second.
Are you ready?
It's time for the Jeep Talk Show with hosts Tony, Josh, Wendy, and Chuck.
So this Texas Trails Jeep Talk Show flagship episode is brought to you by you, the listener. Without you, we'd have no reason to do the show. Reach out to us at jeeptalkshow.com/contact to get more information. Hi, I'm Tony, and welcome to the Jeep Talk Show, the premier show for Jeep enthusiasts and hardcore off-roaders. Whether you're new to the Jeep world or a seasoned Jeeper, we got you covered with the latest news, tips, and advice to help you get the most out of your Jeep. All right, guys, I've got some, I don't know if it's sad news, but some surprising news. At least it was to me. MotoTrend is no more.
Wait, completely no more? I mean, that's been around forever.
MotoTrend magazine or just...
These are all excellent questions. So, as we like to do here, we like to suck you in and then explain.
That's right.
And we're not the only people that do this. The video streaming service MotorTrend Plus is shutting down.
Okay.
And that is as of, it will be completely gone by March 28th. So just a couple of weeks, actually during
the quick.
During EJS actually is when it's going to go away. Now all the shows that you may be streaming on MotorTrend Plus, you will be able to see them on Discovery Plus and Max. Everybody know HBO Max? You know what that is?
Money.
And,
cost.
Yeah, and they started moving them over in February, and I'll mention here. I actually did a little looking at the TV, the Fire Stick that we have, and checking this out on Discovery Plus. And I'm seeing the shows there. But anyway, we'll get to that in a second. So many of the MotorTrend Plus subscribers will receive an email with instructions on how to access Discovery Plus. Do either one of you guys use Discovery Plus?
Nope.
No.
I got it. My wife likes that 90 Day Fiance type thing. And she watches that there, and she actually has a couple of sources that she goes to get the most recent episode, because they release them at different times on different streaming services. Do you guys use streaming services at all?
Amazon Prime.
Yeah.
Yeah, we use Amazon and Sling.
Yeah.
Yeah, I used Sling for a little bit, but I didn't like the commercials, so I got rid of that. It's a neat idea. Of course, Sling's been around for a long time. They had some legal problems when they first started doing their thing. But it's just like a VCR, an online VCR is the way I look at it.
Right.
So anyway, you'll get an email, but I will tell you this. If you signed up for MotorTrend Plus through a third-party partner, you will not be moved over to Discovery Plus. So you're SOL, and that S that S doesn't stand for Saturday.
I guess Discovery Plus is buying MotorTrend, or you think MotorTrend was just shut everything down because of lack of viewership? What do you think it was?
I saw nothing in the article that was specific about it, but I think it has to do with the streaming wars. I have heard, you know, like Disney's having issues, Paramount Plus is having issues.
Everybody is.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the whole reason for cutting the cord is to save money. And then all these streaming services come out, and then what do?
Yeah. And it costs you more money by doing all the individual services rather than your regular original cable.
Exactly. And that's how they get you. So MotorTrend news, reviews, and shopping tools will continue to be available for free on mobile apps and websites. So I think that means the Motor Trend website is going to stay there, but you're not going to be able to stream your shows from there any longer. I don't know. It does say for free, so I'm thinking that the subscription service is going away because they won't have the shows on there, the videos on there any longer.
Sounds like it.
A lot of these are on YouTube anymore.
Yeah, it's a very interesting world. The internet has really changed things and actually taken a lot of money away from people and a lot of middlemen. Of course, we saw this happen with music when the internet was first getting going. A lot of people that were getting paid for nothing don't get paid no more. At least having to do with the music industry, the middlemen. So, and I'm not clear on what this article was saying with this, but I'm gonna go ahead and read it anyway. Other shows from Motor Trend include Roadkill with David Freiberger. I think I met him at EJS last year. Mike Finnegan, Two Guys Behaving Badly with Cars. That just sounds intriguing. Texas Metal, following Escavez. Extensive. What is that word?
Extensive.
That's extensive? It has a K in it?
I don't know.
It's the name of the show. They misspelled it on purpose. Extensive okay, Metalworks, where owner Bill Carlton and his team design and build outrageous, enviable cars and trucks. And this one I might watch because I really enjoy Kevin Hart. Kevin Hart's Muscle Car Crew. And have you guys watched any of these? Or is this any shows that you guys have seen?
I've never seen those.
I wasn't even aware of them.
Yeah, they look interesting, though.
Yeah, and this may be why everything's moving to someplace else.
Yeah, this could be the answer right here.
Yeah, market share and eyeballs and stuff. So if it gets moved to a place that... this is probably better for the creators getting it off of Motor Trend because, I mean, not that we're a great sampling of consumers, but, I mean, we don't know anything about these shows. Kevin Hart's Muscle Car Crew, in which Hart and his friends try to transform car enthusiasts into legit car club and hot rod garage, featuring Lucky Costa, Tony Angelo, and Alex Taylor joining forces to build hot rods in every shape imaginable. Wow, that's kind of a Hot Wheels type thing. That's what that sounds like.
Yeah, that sounds like fun, though.
Yeah, it does.
Kevin Hart might have a couple of nickels to rub together.
Just a few.
Yeah. The Motor Trend Hot Rod magazines are not... the Motor Trend and Hot Rod magazines are not affected by this change and will continue to be published.
Okay, good.
You know, that's going to be rough. I mean, in this day and age, publishing magazines. And I've said it before and I'll say it again. The attraction to a magazine is you can have it in the bathroom, so you have something else to do.
Besides
just sit there.
And it's called the library.
Yeah, and if it's a website, nobody wants to use that keyboard.
No.
No one wants to pick up that magazine either.
No, they don't. So streaming services merging, rumors about Paramount. Oh, and this is the thing I've heard. I don't know, and that's why I call it a rumor. There's rumors about Paramount Plus merging with Discovery Plus. So what the hell is that going to do? I mean, is everything going to Discovery Plus?
Probably be like two or three, and that's it in the marketplace.
I think it's going to go to that simply from a making money standpoint.
Yeah.
Yeah, we do have Paramount Plus because I've been waiting for the new Star Trek season to come out, but
so
it never has.
Do you see there in the notes where I say I've heard of people subscribing to Paramount Plus for Star Trek shows, and then they cancel it when the season's over?
Oh gosh. It makes sense, though.
I've considered doing it because, you know, if you're not going to have anything on that there's nothing on Paramount Plus that I want to watch. I mean, I think they have, is this right? Yeah, they've got Halo on. I don't really care for Halo season this year, but it's starting to get better. But they only do like six or seven episodes, so it's going to be all over as it's just getting good. They're very true to the game. I'm not a huge Halo fan, but I've played the games. My kids actually played them before I did, and they're very true to the games. It's very nice to see how they're doing this series. I think this is the problem because these services, and I'm sure it's not just Paramount, that they wind up having people subscribe and unsubscribe because they don't have enough shows on there to keep the public interested. And the reason for it is that there's so much out there. I mean, even this show. Not that we're on the same level as these other shows I'm talking about. I don't want to get Kevin Hart after me. You can get entertainment in so many different forms now. So I was downstairs having some pizza earlier, and I was checking Discovery Plus after looking up this story. And I see that there's a show that I used to watch until we cut the cord. So it's been a number of years ago since I've watched this show. And Larry, I'm going to bet you know this one. Graveyard Cars with a Z. It's about Mopars.
Never watched it.
They rebuild Mopar vehicles, and it reminds me a lot of Greg Henderson.
Check it out.
Yeah, it reminds me a lot of Greg Henderson and the builds and stuff that Greg does. Except they're rejuvenating like Chargers and various Mopars from the late 60s. He may be doing earlier stuff too. I just watched a little bit of an episode earlier. So the rest of the shows that I saw there on the Discovery Plus under the automotive section, I really don't know, but that one I remember, and that one I really used to enjoy. So I think Chip Foos, is that his name?
Oh, yeah.
Has a show on there as well.
Yeah, I don't have Discovery Plus, so I don't know.
Yep. Well, you may have soon if there is a merger between Paramount Plus and Discovery.
Just hold on.
I know there's been a big crackdown on sharing the password. You know, a lot of the systems now lock it to your TV or IP for the network or whatever, so you can't share that password. You know, it used to be, you know, Netflix, you'd give it out to all your family. We got one subscriber, you know, and 40 TVs.
Mm-hmm. And then you try to figure out why they're suggesting some of this stuff to you. And it's always scary whenever it's alternate lifestyle stuff that gets suggested to you. All right, who's the one in the closet?
Well, you know the old saying, if you can't figure out who it is.
That's right. Sleep streaming.
What? Where's the noob?
Noob! 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 Hey, newbie! Newbie!
Noob Nugget.
It's time for Newbie Nuggets.
Well, to mud or not to mud? That is the question. Do you like the mud or not? I think most Jeepers have a clear opinion on what they like. It's either a yes or a no. Now, to be fair, I need to clarify. I live in Southern California, the Big Bear Mountains to be specific. We don't have mud. Well, not really. Pictures I see on Facebook and videos on the YouTube I see with Jeeps in the mud from all over the country are not the kind of mud we have. Our very dry climate makes for a very sticky clay base that is tough to get off. So my disclaimer is that some of you in the country only have mud to wheel in, and I really, really applaud you for that. The mud we get is from snow runoff or water crossings or the occasional rainstorm, and it doesn't happen very often.
Now, wait a second. So you're going to tell me that the horse can't find mud?
Not if we don't have rain or...
Because I figured a horse is kind of like a dog. They're gonna find some place to make a mess.
Most of them, they like to avoid it.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, it's kind of fun. So, all right. So with that clarification, I'm only talking about the mud we have out here in Southern California. Now back to the mud. For the record, I hate mud. That's a capital H-A-T-E, by the way. Now, I know there's lots of listeners here in Southern California who'd probably love the mud and the idea of mud. I see it all the time on Facebook. I'm going to the mountains. There's mud. Go ahead, have fun. Now, when I see the picture of this is a perfect picture, by the way, of a Jeep driving through a mud puddle and that perfectly timed shot of the spray of mud evenly to both sides of the front of the Jeep is great and may look like fun. However, I'm not doing mud. There are times when it is unavoidable, so we do have to drive through it, darn it. And when we do, we just drive super slow. It's kind of funny. Try not to splash too much of that sticky stuff up underneath and all over. Now, here's why I don't like mud. Cleanup is very, very harsh. What I mean is that after every run, Bill and I like to make sure everything's still attached. And if there's mud, you have to wash the Jeep before you can inspect it. That means we have to get the power washer out, hook it up, clean the Jeep everywhere. That's the top, the bottom, underneath, everywhere. That's before we can inspect the Jeep. And add to it, for us in the wintertime, we would also have to drain the power washer so there isn't any water left to freeze and then expand and crack something. it's really just not worth the extra effort for that few moments of the thrill of splashing through mud for us. So mud is a no-go for us. Now, I will admit, I do love the pictures of Jeeps in the mud, and I love watching someone else go through it and splash around. It looks really, really cool. Maybe it's because it's their cleanup and not mine. I don't know.
So, Wendy, you sound like a grandparent. You know, where it's fun to have the kids come over, but, but they go home.
That's right. You do you in the mud.
So if someone offered you a chance to get in their Jeep while they're going through the mud and it's topless, are you going?
Yes, I'm doing it. Are you kidding? That would be awesome.
All right.
I don't want to clean ours. It's just too much.
Uh-huh, I agree.
So what do you prefer, the listener, mud or no mud? You need to let us know. I'd also be curious to know what you use for cleanup. Maybe there's something different than a power washer. And do you really, really enjoy it? I kind of want to know that too. Who knows? Maybe I'm missing something. So enlighten me out there. So reach out and let me know your thoughts on mud. Just go to thejeeptalkshow.com/contact and let us know. So guys, what do you guys think about that? Larry, are you into mud or no?
No, I'm not into mud. That's one thing about this area in the Midwest. There's no shortage of mud, especially if you get a little rain, all the parks turn into mud. So if you wheel here, it just comes with it. But
yeah,
I'm like you, the cleanup, no thank you. Because usually there's like about a mile long stream of mud out of some of these parks at times. And
I bet.
Yeah, no thanks.
So what do you use to do your cleanup? Are you using a power washer or are you using a hose?
Power washer. Okay, power washer.
Same with us.
Multiple trips to the car wash.
Yeah.
You guys, and then they put up the sign,
no mud
covered 4x4s.
Exactly.
The sniper is watching. But anyway, did you guys know about the PAM spray that you can spray under your vehicle so that the mud won't stick?
So when do you actually spray that, Tony? I just want to say, first off, if you're a newbie,
before it's muddy.
Yes, but you're going to be in dirt. So if you do it before, when you're on the trail airing down and you go, hold on a minute here, let me get out my PAM and spray the, what?
I've never done it. It's just something I've heard about people that do this. And I think they actually use it for high salt areas too, to keep the salt from sticking.
That might work. Maybe someone will call and tell us about this. But here's the thing. So let's suppose you're on a trail and it's dusty because it's going to be dirt. And you get to that mud and you have to drive through it. And you say, hold on a minute, let me get out. Well, you're still going to have all that dust and dirt underneath. What are you going to spray it on the dirt? It's not going to stick.
I would love to know. I don't know the details on this. Yeah, I'd love for somebody to call in. I mean, somebody that has done it before. It's kind of like spraying the propane or the whatever the flammable stuff is in the tire to inflate it. How many times do you go through that before you get it right? And how long
it
does
only
it
takes once or twice, but it works.
And
that
how long,
works.
And how long does your eyebrows take to grow back?
Well, you're not standing that close to it, darn it.
Yeah, I know. I've started using that Surface Shield Blaster makes. It's like a lanolin based spray for rust and everything.
Okay.
And I've started using it under my Jeep because you just can't keep up with, you know, things rust so quick here.
Yeah.
And I've noticed that during the winter, nothing sticks to it either.
Oh, well, that's interesting.
Yeah.
That might be an option for mud.
Yeah. Well, Wendy, can you get like a big case of PAM from like Amazon and then go find some mud and let's run some experiments? Oh. I'm brain farting on his name. Don. Don. This would be a great thing for Don to write about
for
in his
video?
Book. Yeah.
Maybe
no, in his
we should
book.
Actually do that. Yeah. In the book, one of the books. to use PAM or not. Yeah.
I wonder if it comes in like gallon jugs or something and put it in one of those bug sprayers or
sprayers.
Yeah, you know what I mean? The guy puts it on your back and you just pump it up and hose that sucker down.
If you spray it before you even go and then it has time to dry, does it stick and then nothing sticks to it? That might be an option.
I'm thinking
on the road and eat all your wires.
I'm thinking we need to, the Jeep Talk Show needs to patent Teflon coated Jeeps. Nothing will stick.
You know what? If we keep this up, Pam's going to design an actual bottle that's red, Tony, with our logo on it.
It'd be like a fire extinguisher thing, you know, where it's
it'll be Texas sized Pam.
Just mounts to the roll bar.
Oh gosh. Anyway, let us know about mud. You know, do you like it? You don't like it? Because obviously, I don't have enough experience with the big, huge wheeling. I mean, I watched some YouTube and somebody was actually wheeling. I think they were in a regular Toyota truck, and the tires were covered in this kind of mucky stuff. I don't even know how they had traction anymore.
Yeah.
So, but I know that's how a lot of people wheel in this country, because like Larry said, you don't have a choice. You have to go through mud.
That's, I mean, we don't have any rocks down here on the Gulf Coast. We have a lot of clay. We have a lot of, muddy dirt type stuff. That's how I started. But I had the 83 Chevrolet pickup short wheelbase, 37-inch tires, 4-inch lift. And, it was go bury that thing in mud, put it in four low, and crawl out. And I had those were mud drains. And, man, you talk about it was mud rooster tails
coming
off that truck.
Yeah. Anyway,
you guys have seen the videos whenever they go out into those ponds and stuff.
It's so much fun.
Oh, yeah.
And even like the poles, the monster truck poles, and they're in the mud. Yep. I mean, that stuff's exciting to watch. Trust me, I love that stuff.
I've mentioned this before. So I would go off in the mud and stuff, probably like October, November, maybe later in the year when it was kind of rainy down here. Mm-hmm. And then I would take it to the car wash. This is before the signs went up. I would take it down to the car wash and just...
It's your fault.
Just dump all the mud I could get off of there. And I would spend a long time doing it. And then come June, when it was 90 something degrees in Texas and very, very dry, because we didn't get a lot of rain during the summertime. And I'd be driving down I-10, and all of a sudden you hear this big clunk, and you look in the rear view and you see this huge piece of mud that's just spinning and people are swerving. And I'm going, where'd that come from? Oh, yeah.
Prius-sized chunk of mud comes out.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I was going to claim asteroid if it damaged anybody.
Yeah, of course. Love it.
And keep in mind, I spent a lot of time cleaning my beautiful truck. And all the parts that you could see were nice and clean.
Welcome to Fabricating Frenzy with Larry, also known as Jeeping Mo, whose hair is not curly.
All right, with the big epic trail rides coming, everyone will want to go out and record and document their rides. Many of you know Duke and I have traveled all over the country creating YouTube content for our channel. And so I thought I would spend a minute and share some of the tools I use to create and publish our content. The biggest investment is going to be your camera. Now, two of the big players that pretty much what I have found out there is GoPro and DJI. Now, we migrated to the DJI cameras. And for me, they provide a good stabilization for the trail. And that stabilization, it's a double-edged sword, right? A little movement is good, but it quickly becomes unwatchable if the video is bouncing all around. And the other part of that is that it takes a really nice trail ride where there's texture on the ground or you're climbing, and it makes it look like a flat gravel road. So there's always a caveat to that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you want to buy a couple extra batteries per camera because you're going to end up using them. And for the storage of all that data, most of the cameras take mini SD cards. And I suggest buying the largest card your camera will recognize, and there is a limit. So like the cameras I use, I buy 128 gig SD cards. One day I thought, I'm going to buy a 512. Well, the camera won't recognize it, and I can't reformat it, so it's basically just a dead card laying around. Now, you can use shotgun mics if you're doing recording the sound in front of the camera. They're a great way to go and record on the trail. That way, you don't have to manage any batteries for cordless mics. Now, if you're going to do interviews or want to do a vlog-style video on a trail, wireless mics work great. Now, two of them I would suggest is the DJI wireless or the Rode Video Go-To mics. And you can always get the adapters to use these mics on your phones as well. Both are very good. Now, we use the Rode mics, but I know the DJI mics work well, too. That's what, one of the team members, Bill, has. And I think Tony just bought some also.
I did.
If I remember right. Now, I use the Rode Video the Rode Shotgun wired mics on my cameras. I really like those. But one thing I would suggest is don't forget the windsock, or commonly known as the dead cat.
I love that. The small ones are the dead kittens, which is even better. Yes, even
dead kittens, yeah.
It's like baby on a fork. It's just not right. It's just a pitchfork. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nothing ruins sound quicker than just a little bit of wind. Mm-hmm. So when I run a mic, if I'm outdoors, it's got the windsock on it, because it's amazing how much you may not pick up a little bit of wind, but that mic will pick it up every time and totally ruin all your audio. Now, selfie sticks are good, but if you're trying to record the trail, and there are a couple ways to go. So if you're out on trail and you want to record, there's a couple mounts that I typically go with. You know, one is a suction cup mount. Now, there are several mounts out there that are very custom or very specific to what you're trying to do. But I find that the suction cup mount works great. And I've been using them for years. You can mount them on the body. You can mount them on the glass, as long as it's flat. And one thing I have found over the years, try and not put the camera in the cab unless you're recording what's in the cab. The glare on the glass as you're looking through it is absolutely horrible.
Right.
And the glass is always dirty. I don't always care how many times. So the glare, you know, the one thing that used to always get me was I'd be watching the video. I'm like, why is there a quarter in my video? And then there's a quarter somewhere in the dash, and it's a reflection of it because I had the camera on the inside of the cab.
Right.
Yep. So you will want some storage, and I would suggest buy at least a 2 terabyte drive. Now, you'll be surprised in how fast you'll fill that up.
Oh, yes. Especially if you're doing 4K video.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I only record in 4K because you can slice that up real easy. It's easy to go down. It's hard to go up.
Yeah, you can zoom in, and you're not going to lose too much quality when you do the digital zoom, you should say.
Right. Now, a Google Drive is a great way for sharing files with a group of people. So once you have your footage, then the next big thing you're going to need is some way to edit your programs or your files.
And anybody can suck in to do that for you, you should.
It's worth it.
Yeah. Now, one that I really like that is free is, unless you want to unlock some of the higher functions, is DaVinci Resolve. That's what I pretty much edit all my videos in, and I really have not had much of a need for some of the higher functions.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there are a lot of videos in YouTube on the how-tos and how to use that program. I also use a program called LumaFusion, but it's specifically for Apple, where DaVinci will run on Apple or Windows, either way. So on my phone, I just use LumaFusion, and I use it for my vertical stuff. But LumaFusion is cheap. It's like $20, and that's all you pay for it. Now, there are several other devices and systems out there, but what we've listed here will just get you started. Don't discount how good your phones are nowadays. But the big thing is just get out and get started, and you'll keep progressing. You know, I know that my iPhone 14, it stabilizes almost as good as my phone, as my cameras do anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But
amazing. The smartphones are amazing.
Oh yeah. It used to be you try to record with your phone and it just looked like you had it on a pogo stick. It was unwatchable.
Blair Witch Project, or what was that monster movie Cloverfield, where it was just everything was so shaky. It was
right.
It was done on a Samsung flip phone, I think.
Yeah, but it's amazing. Just about any cameras you buy nowadays, they're good. You can just buy whatever go buy what you can afford and get started. You'll evolve quickly.
Yeah, you don't have to have a huge setup or anything, and you can use the free software like DaVinci Resolve. But yeah, get started on your phone. The phone is an amazing thing, and you could be very creative with just one camera and one audio source.
Right. If you're going to use your phone, I would suggest maybe buy the wireless mic and buy the adapter for your phone so you don't have the wind noise. But that way you'll have good sound and you'll have good video, because you'd be amazed. I've seen time and time again, people will suffer through a little bad video. But if it's bad audio in that video,
windy, right, forget it. They're done.
Oh, they punch out fast.
Right.
And
just think of that scene in Dumb and Dumber where they're both in the vehicle screaming at each other. The guy in the middle is having to listen to it. So I just mentioned, I don't know that everybody here in the video, you can see we all have headphones on. I don't know that everybody here is monitoring their own personal audio. But the wind noise that you're talking about, Larry, I highly recommend that any external microphone, wireless, wired, whatever you get, make sure there's a way for you to plug up earbuds in, and maybe just one earbud, so you can listen to your audio as you're recording it. You will pick up some things, like if you're holding the microphone or holding a recorder, and just moving your hand around on the case will make all kinds of noise that you won't notice until you're back and doing the editing. And then you're going, this is unusable. I can't use this. This is crap. And you have to trash the whole thing. So just by monitoring your audio, you'll hear whenever the wind comes in. And then you can re-ask that question and then get a good take, so to speak. And I know none of us like having to do stuff multiple times. But what do you want? Do you want something that somebody's going to watch and listen to? Or do you just want to have your mom go, oh, sweetie, that's so nice.
So a little behind the scene baseball. Typically, when you start hearing a lot of voiceovers, that's because the audio sucked.
Yeah.
Well, that's one way to save it, isn't it? That's good information. And I absolutely love DaVinci Resolve. It is an amazing piece of software. I've been using Adobe Photoshop Elements, I think it is, for a long time, and it is complete crap compared to the DaVinci Resolve. Now, Larry, I've been talking to the team about doing interviews at EJS and setting up multiple cameras. I've tested it, set up multiple cameras in the Gladiator. So I'm going to get people sitting in the Gladiator with me, and we're going to do a quick interview, video and audio. And I've got those DJI mics. It's the mic, the original mic, not the mic 2. So I'm going to mic them up to get good audio. I'm going to have the cameras ready to go. I have a remote that I can press a button and they'll both come on. And so I'll have a video. Now, this is shooting separate files for the video and separate audio channels, because I've got one mic set up for one channel, the other mic set up for the other one. That way I can manipulate the levels if I have to.
Right.
So DaVinci Resolve, and I don't know if you're aware of this or not, but DaVinci Resolve will handle multiple sources near seamlessly.
Sync up the audio.
Yeah, so much so that you basically get you create a multiple camera timeline, and then it just is one timeline in your editor, and you press play, and then you select what camera you want as it's playing. So you can just edit it just by selecting the camera that you want to see at the time. And if you don't like it, you press stop. You do a Control Z. And then do it again and get the timing right. So it speeds up the editing process dramatically. I just learned how to do this the other day. And it is just amazing. The damn program is free.
Yeah.
Well, be quiet about that. If they hear that, they're going to start charging you.
Well, if you want the AI features and some of the features like what Larry was talking about, you can pay for it. I think it's like $275, a one-time fee of $275. So absolutely. It's head and shoulders the best editing software. And I haven't done a lot of it, but the best video editing software I've ever used.
So yeah, this fun time at EJS with the Gladiator sounds like a really good little segment. Are you going to call it Gladiator Takes? That'd be fun.
I don't know.
Sitting inside the Gladiator and interviewing people. What a cool, tagline.
And I don't want to make anybody feel bad, but I've been reaching out, calling people on the phone to get them lined up for this. Are you going to EJS? Great. Would you have a little bit of time? I don't want to schedule anything with you because EJS is so fluid. I just want to get this, put this bee in your bonnet so you're aware of it. I'll find you. You'll find me. And then we'll sit in the Gladiator. I would like to actually do some trails while we're doing the interview. And so that's, I'm setting up cameras that can capture that so that we have some really, I hope, really interesting footage. And nothing against anybody out there, including you, Larry, that do off-road videos, wheeling videos.
Mm-hmm.
Those are so boring to me.
Boring. Oh, yeah.
Well, yeah.
I mean,
if you don't,
if you're going to roll it, if you're going to roll it, it's like NASCAR. If you're going to crash, then yeah, that's going to be exciting. But if you're just doing wheeling videos, you don't get that feel. Nobody has figured out how to get that feeling of being there. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So
no, that's like a lot of the videos that we've done, even with Wendy. You know, I'll have 12 hours plus of video and I'm trying to slice it because as you're watching it, I know when I watch it, if I'm getting bored editing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
It's like
so many hours and hours and hours of footage to get,
right,
you know, 10 seconds or 10 minutes or whatever of good content.
Now, I think if you can split it up and have interesting things in it and wheeling, then that's great.
Oh, yeah, that's fine. Yeah.
You know, the hardest part of when you're creating video is, especially if you're going, let's say you got a big steep climb and there's a lot of rocks and you know how hard you're working. If you don't have an external camera to compare that to.
Exactly.
When you're watching that video, you're like you're driving down the road.
There's nothing.
I don't understand.
Yep. It's like photos too. This was really tough. Really? That looks so easy. What are they talking about?
So, like I mentioned, I've been reaching out to people. Brad from Trail Recon called me back today. He's going to be there.
Oh, that's cool.
He's willing to get in the Gladiator with me. He's got a limited amount of time that out there. So a short interview is going to be perfect for him. And hopefully we'll make this happen. Brad's a good guy. I got to meet him last year. And I think it'd be fun just to sit in the Jeep and chat with him briefly. But anyway, speaking of Brad and Trail Recon, you can look at some of Brad's videos and the reason why he's been so successful, trial and error, of course, and seeing and trying to bridge that gap between boring and interesting. And they do a lot of external shots. I would say that the external shots are the main footage and the internal type stuff is going to be your B-roll, which is the thing that is it makes it more interesting, but it's not necessarily the most interesting thing of the video. So making videos, good videos, is very difficult, and it's very much an artwork, an art form.
Yeah, most of those videos with Brad, someone's driving, he's running alongside it.
Yeah, he's doing the shooting, yeah. So
yeah.
You don't, that's good because nobody's going to drop your camera, but then again, they might break your Jeep. So it's a big trust thing.
It's like a trade-off. Which one am I going to do this time?
Yeah. So we're going to keep it a little simple and just have the cameras inside the Gladiator. I'm planning on at least one on the outside of it, like maybe looking in through the windshield as a cut, you know, just a quick cut out and looking in. But yeah, it's going to have all that reflection and stuff on it. But I think it's just not the primary video. It'll be interesting. And then I'll have the dash cam running so I can actually cut to something that's out in front. So I'm looking forward to it. It's a lot of fun doing stuff like this. More fun when it works out.
Of course.
Always.
Yeah.
Stay tuned for future videos.
And by the way, Brad's license plate is Mud Please.
Yes, I know.
Because he hates mud.
Yep, he hates it.
From the mind of Nikki G.
Hey, this is Nikki G, and I enjoyed hearing Tammy, a.k.a. Jeep Mama, on the air again. I've went wheeling with Tammy twice, and I got to tell you, she's a hoot to hang around with. It was a whole weekend of pranks and fun, and she's just a great gal. One of my favorite memories is Tammy had a camera on a tripod, and she was interviewing people for her blog or YouTube channel. And me and Willie Wagon and Brian Plummer were in the background behind her. She didn't know it. We were just goofing around, chasing each other with sticks. And it was a good time. Well, that's not why I'm calling. I'm calling to ask, do you know what kind of doctor Dr. Pepper is? Yeah, I'm pretty sure he's a physicist. Yeah. 18% funnier was last year.
No.
All right, boys and girls, I'll chat with you later, and you have a good one. Bye.
Nikki G, shake that joke up and get back to us.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Oh my gosh. That was a big stretch, by the way.
You must be new here to Nikki G. Yeah, exactly. It always makes you smile, though. And there may be a groan always. Involved, but it always makes you smile.
Always. He always does that.
Yes, exactly.
Oh God, here we go. The pepper joke.
Duke is passing Larry interesting lines. So in our next interview, we're excited to announce that our guest will be Josh with Black Fork Tools, blackforktools.com. Does anybody remember the Black Fork Tools we talked about a few years ago? I don't know if...
Yeah, it sounds very familiar.
I don't know if I don't think you were with the show at the time, Wendy, but it basically is this something, it's very simple, and you would think that you would see more of this out there, or even would come for Jeep. Because, you know, they have those big holes in the frame, usually for the upper control arm bolts, and so they can get to them with the flag, little flag nut and stuff in there, and then they have this big, huge, gaping hole. On the LJs and the JT, that hole is probably, oh, God, it's probably about 3 inches, kind of not a hole, but a rectangular type thing. And I'm really surprised. I mean, I know they've done the engineering, but I'm kind of surprised that it doesn't weaken the frame in that area significantly. But anyway, Josh sent me a set of these plugs for the Gladiator a couple of years ago, and it looks so much better. And I think at the time I was said something along the lines of, don't expose your hole to the public. Cover it up with Black Fork Tools.
Million-dollar idea.
Yeah. So he makes them for the JKs, the JLs, and the JTs. So we'll be talking to him about that next Friday. All right, got a couple of announcements here I want to tell you about. It's already happened, but on March the 10th, we did our first official Jeep meet here in Katy, Texas. It actually coincides with a Jeep meets. I don't know why they did plural, but they call it Jeep meets. They do it monthly at Katy Crossroads Ice House in Old Katy, or as I like to say, downtown Bright Lights, Katy. And it's just a beautiful area, and they have it once a month. And the Jeep Talk Show, Underground Graphics, and Off-Roading 101, and Texas 4-Wheel Drive we're going there monthly. So it's kind of like, Javas and Jeeps and type thing, except this is an afternoon deal. You can have your adult beverages instead of having to drink coffee. And does anybody like getting up early anyway? So this happens monthly. It's 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. This past March 10th, it was a Sunday. And they're all going to be on Sundays, 1 to 4. And I would say that I've been there a couple of times, and both times there is in excess of 35 Jeeps. I'm being conservative. I think it's more like 50. In all shapes and sizes, very interesting. Greg from Underground Graphics, I mentioned before, he's going to be there. So if you've been thinking about doing graphics on your Jeep and you would just like to talk to somebody that's been doing it for 20, 30 years and get an idea of what it would take and maybe even a ballpark price, Greg's going to hate me mentioning that. You come out there and ask Greg if you've got a Jeep, maybe you've never taken it off-road, and you'd like to learn in a nice, safe place with experts that can teach you how to do it safely and answer your questions before you even ask them in many cases. Todd with offroading101.com, I've actually had one of their classes. It was great. So much patience, no judgment. I just felt really comfortable, and I learned stuff. It was a one-on-one class, and I learned stuff. But they have multiple levels that you can learn. So you can talk to Todd about his classes, and he can explain it to you. And you may feel more comfortable about getting that Jeep off-road. And it doesn't have to be a Jeep. It can be anything, but it is a Jeep meet after all. And then Clint won't be with us this time. He's out of town, but he can talk to you about Texas 4-Wheel Drive, a local club. Again, if you're in the Houston area, I mean, I don't care where you come from if you want to attend, but the event is in Katy, which is about 20 miles west of Houston. And if you're in the area, you know where Katy is. They have a superior school system. That's the reason why we moved down here for the girls. But anyway, we're going to be doing this monthly. We'd like to see you come out there. And, you know, F.U. Bob has threatened to fly in for one of these things, Larry.
Ooh.
Sorry.
He works for an airline, so he has to get on standby on a flight. But he's talked about, flying out, renting a car, and coming out to a Jeep meet, which is really cool.
Hmm.
Also, too. Yeah. Also, too, the Easter Jeep Safari is coming up. I'm going to be there. Larry is, he's thinking about being there. It really depends on the timing. It's funny, Larry, you have time to go to the thing in California, but you don't have time to go to EJS. I don't know.
Yeah. That's because my original flight.
Here we go.
I was originally supposed to be in Germany.
Is this a Steve-O story? Is this a Steve-O reasoning?
Oh, geez.
It's the Winter Nationals. You have to go to the Winter Nationals.
It's EJS. Now. You have to go to EJS. So anyway, we hope to see you out there, Larry. But of course, if you have other plans, I certainly understand that. I just, Steve-O was talking about how very quietly he was saying it may be that I can't go. And I'll go, and inside, I got a little excited like a little girl, because this is this weeks and weeks of teasing that we'll be able to do, because Steve-O always backs out of stuff. He has a good reason, but it doesn't matter. We'll still give him hell.
Absolutely.
So anyway, EJS, the Jeep Talk Show team, many of the Jeep Talk Show team members will be there. Greg Henderson, a big friend of the show, Underground Graphics, Unofficial Use Only, he's going to be there. And again, I'm planning on doing a lot of interviews with people in the Gladiator. I'm going to have the G-Tops, which is a clear see-through insert that goes in the Freedom Panels from G-Tops, JEETops.com. And you can see those firsthand if you've been interested in something like that. It's a great situation. You can see through the top all the time in any kind of weather. It can be hailing out and you're still fine. Or you can take them off and stick them in the bags that you already have for your Freedom Tops and go topless. It's a wonderful, wonderful situation. Easy to store, just like because they're factory. They just have clear panels installed in them. So you can see those directly. And ask me about the bullet holes. And I'll show you the bullet holes that are in these tops.
Uh-huh.
All right, let's get to our...
There's plenty to see and do.
Huh?
I said there's plenty to see and do when you're in EJS. That's
yes,
for sure.
Yes. All right, for our must-have stuff for your Jeep. Now, this goes straight back to what Larry was talking about, because you'll get out there, you're going to do video stuff, and you're going to need to charge something. It doesn't matter how thorough you were.
Always.
You left something on for too long, and you weren't checking it because you're in a different environment, and you're doing a bunch of stuff, and you missed it, and now something you need is dead. You've run the battery out, and maybe you've had a battery go bad on one of your extra batteries. It just didn't hold the charge like it used to. So I have a multi-port USB car charger. It is a 12-volt, so it will plug in directly into the cigarette lighter. I think Bill actually has one that uses an inverter. And an inverter uses, it draws power and uses power, so you don't get as much out of it as you do if you go straight to the 12-volt system. So this, I recommend getting one that goes straight to the 12-volt. You only need 5 volts out of it anyway, so because that's what all the charging stuff is 5 volts. So this doesn't hurt a thing. I think it's the most efficient way to go. So this multi-port USB charger is a 96-watt, 6-port QC 3.0 fast adapter with multiple ports, 4 quick charge 3.0 ports. It'll handle a 12-volt to 24-volt system, and it's a great way. I mean, there's 6 USBs on this thing, so it's a great way to charge 6 devices at the same time. Now, it's 96 watts, and I promise you, you're not going to get 96 watts of charging out of one of those ports. They're obviously adding up all the ports. But this is going to be a very fast charger for your devices, and I guarantee you, when you're waiting for something to charge that you were ready to use 10 minutes ago, fast is what you want.
Oh, well, what happens, too, with cell phones, just to make a note, is sometimes they're roaming for the signal. So you're out in the desert. There's not any real service. You didn't put it on airplane mode or turn off your Wi-Fi or whatever. And next thing you know, your battery's dead on your phone.
Yeah, you might need that GPS.
That's right. So that's another thing to consider, especially for the newbies out there, that you know your phone, we already talked about, doesn't necessarily work in certain areas, but running out of power is a whole other thing. Mm-hmm.
And I recommend anytime you're in a situation like that, you should maybe take some sort of solar panel or something with you, a small one. It may take it a while to charge your phone, but anything is hope, you know. Yeah. But anyway, this multi-port USB car charger is only $23.99, and get it, throw it in your Jeep, and then you'll have it. I threw mine in my Jeep, and I forgot I had it. It was getting ready to order one, and I went, wait a minute, I think I have one of these. So I went to Amazon, looked at my orders, and sure enough, there it was.
And there it was.
And I'm like, oh, I bet you I know where that is. I looked, and I found it.
Good. Nice.
So now I don't have two. All right, guys. Well, thanks for listening to this episode of the Jeep Talk Show. If you've enjoyed the show, please leave us a rating and review on your favorite podcast platform. And damn it, become a Patreon subscriber. We have lost like 3 or 4 subscribers. What? I understand things come up. You may not like the way the Patreon handles the episodes. And if you haven't already heard, you can use Spotify and it handles all the episodes on Spotify as a paid subscriber. It handles it seamlessly. It makes it a joy to have and have that early access and commercial-free access to our episodes. But become a Patreon subscriber. $5 to get started. Ad-free content. Discount codes. Oh, my God. I've heard from a lot of people talking about they've saved enough to pay for their Patreon subscription for 2 years. And
not hard.
Yeah. And it's always, if you're a Jeeper. and you're ripped and you're buying Jeep parts. And your feedback on the podcast apps or Apple really help us improve and reach more Jeep enthusiasts like yourself. Also, don't forget to follow us on social media. I love the Instagram. And sign up for our email newsletter to stay up to date on the latest news and events. Finally, if you have any questions or comments or ideas for future episodes, we'd love to hear from you. Go to jeeptalkshow.com/contact and you'll find multiple ways to contact us. Join our Discord server right now. Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you on the next episode of the Jeep Talk Show. Wendy, Josh, Larry,
the other Josh.
Yeah, no, I'm a little wore out. I was actually doing some work in the garage this afternoon, and generally I like to take a nap before the show, but I didn't do it. trying to get the skid plates all done up so I can be ready for
tomorrow. I'll help you, Tony. His name is Larry.
Thank you. I can remember Duke's name just fine. I don't know why that is.
It's in the intro.
Love it.
You guys have a great night. Thank you.
All right. Bye.
Whatever your names are.
Broadcasting since 2010.